Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
We're the word association. We heard the implication. Dessert, evaluation. The word association. We heard the implication. Dessert, evaluation. For the word association.
Wow! Welcome everyone to another episode of the Word Association. We're very excited around here. We've been smiling all day because we have our first ever guest. Please welcome to the show.
Hold on. We don't get to talk before the guest. Before you don't introduce us before the guest.
And I want to hear Brett say it. I want to hear Brett say he's excited for me.
First of all, Adel, do not force frickin' words into my mouth. And the audacity just to go, oh, yeah, don't forget about, you know, schlub A and schlub B over here. Let's get to the...
Don't force words into my mouth. Come on, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from Atlantic City, John Patrick Cohen, or JPC as he's known to other podcast listeners out there.
Yeah, colloquially. I don't want people being able to Google me.
Yeah, we got to cut that. No one is actually supposed to know his full government-issued name.
There is like a thing that is JPC that is like body armor for like, you know, those like, I don't know. It seems like military dads, like the people like cosplayers. But there's like a JPC is like a type of body armor, I think. I don't know. I tried to Google it once and I was like, what is this?
Like a bulletproof vest kind of thing?
Teflon?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Is it Teflon? That might be frying pants.
Yeah. I always hear your name and think of JCPenney's, even though it's very close.
Very close.
Whole life, I thought Teflon was bulletproof, and I think I'm just realizing I've lived a lie.
You might have had just a really good door-to-door salesman in your youth.
Well, you know? I think we've all been, you know, you get a knock at the door, you open it up, someone says, do you mind if I come in? You say yes. They put a bunch of dirt and glitter on the carpet, and then they vacuum it up, and then they take out a frying pan, and they go, do you have a gun? I say, yes, of course. They shoot the frying pan while I hold it above my head, just to show the durability.
Wait, they ask you for a gun, and then you give it to them, and then they shoot the frying pan?
That happens to me all the time. First, the gentleman sets up a series of ropes, swings, and pulleys, and he shoots the frying pan, and it sets off some sort of Rube Goldberg device inside my house, which touches my butt at the end.
I've had that guy who sets up a bunch of ropes, nooses, and pulleys, and then he always says, is your mom home? And I go, huh? And he goes, say Uncle Dale is here. And I go, Uncle Dale? Anyway, I'm Adel Rifai. We have Brett Lyons and Rob White here. And again, we're joined by our very first guest of all time, JPC.
Yes.
JPC, thank you so much for being here. You've been emailed the premise of the show, which
you've
is
been
to
emailed.
Come in. You've been emailed the premise of the show, which is to bring in one word. And hopefully you did that homework.
Yeah, we'll see. I do think I want to change my email signature to you've been emailed. I think that's a great way to sign
That is
on.
A great.
To where people are always on edge of like, wait a minute, let me reread this to make sure I'm not in trouble. I'll kick us off. My word that I'm bringing to the table today is waiter. Now, I bring this to the table for a very specific reason, which is the other day, Brett, Lyons, Rob White, and myself, we went to Fogo de Chao, while Brett was in town. The yes. Unlimited Meat restaurant, if people don't know what it is, is basically a steakhouse where you are given a little disc. On one side is green, on the other side is red. And it, as long as your disc is green, servers with maybe, let's say, 22 different types of steak, pork, chicken, et cetera, sabers of meats, will come around your table and carve it off onto your plate. And our waiter or waiters were, I would say, lacking.
It's by committee, and I'm never going to throw anyone in the food industry under the bus. It's tough, mm-hmm. but I think maybe some of the saber meat holders were possibly what was lacking. Because I do feel like, I mean, you did ask several times for filet mignon, even though the table had finished, everyone except for you. We were all having our coffees, but Adel said, no. I am not leaving until I get one more piece of filet mignon. And I was okay with that. I had no problem. I fought for him a couple times for the waiter to bring some more filet mignon. And every single time we were told, it's literally coming out. It's literally on its way out.
Your Honor, if I may. And Rob, yes. I'm deciding you're the judge in this case. The reason you had coffees while I was waiting is because I waited 50 minutes for that.
You did
piece
wait
of meat.
For a long time. You did.
It was 50 minutes. So yeah, 35, 40 minutes in, y'all ordered coffee and then they came and you drank them. And every time, JPC, every time one of the waiters came by, we spoke to waiters, we spoke to the meat holders, we spoke to the front of house, like the floor manager. And every time I go, they go, can we help you? Can we take away your plates? And I go, I'm so sorry, I'm waiting for filet mignon. And they go, oh, it's just about to come out. And 13 different times they said it's just about to come out over the course of 50 minutes. And then finally the guy comes out and he goes, did you get your filet mignon? And I go, no, it hasn't come out yet. And he goes, yeah, it's almost done. And I go, why did you say, did I get my filet mignon if you know I didn't get it? It was the worst service I've ever had in my life.
And he passed up several other meats.
Okay, so I don't know too much about meat, but I think filet mignon, that's like a nice, like a higher quality meat, right?
It is. So if you don't enjoy like a gristly like type of fat, it's been trimmed of pretty much all its fat. So there's not really any gristle. There's a lot of flavor in it, but it's not like a New York strip or anything like that.
Is this like a post-COVID cost-cutting thing where they're like, we do have filet mignon, but we bring it out once every 2.5 hours?
They also have a bacon-wrapped filet mignon that we had as well.
Imagine, I don't even know how it works. They have to have so many meats cooking, then they load up those, are we calling them sabers?
Yeah, they're sabers.
Okay, so they load up those sabers and they walk around and they cut meat. Like, I don't even know, like, how do you even determine how much meat to have cooking at a certain time? So it comes in waves. It does come in waves for that
reason. It might have been more. Also, originally, we were supposed to eat at the downtown location in Chicago.
The flagship.
I mean, truly, it is an amazing. And you could see the meats being cooked. So you know it's like, okay, things are going. But due to a snafu of weather and airline issues.
Situation now all fucked up.
Yeah, basically. I was in Rosemont for 12 hours, basically in the cell phone lot all day with waiting on my wife and child whose flight never came and it was ended up being canceled. So originally we were canceling dinner because I wasn't going to make it. And then someone said, well, you know, there's a FOGO in Rosemont, Illinois. So I got the troops together as fast as possible. To also be fair, I told Adel it was canceled and called him back 15 minutes later and was like, it's back on. And he said, I'm already eating dinner.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, how did JPC, that happen so fast?
I should tell you, I joined the military. He called the troops. I did. I'm out for the next couple of years.
Yeah, you're just eating MREs in your kitchen now.
I think he actually ate 2 beef kebabs before going to an all-meat restaurant.
How'd you get a beef kebab so fast?
Well, I had some frozen Trader Joe's kebabs. Here's what I'll say is that the most fun of the whole night, which was, I think, while we were waiting 50 minutes for the filet, which I eventually got and I had such a tiny portion of, and it was fun. Mm-hmm. So I ruined the night. But the most fun was we went around the table and we did, JPC, I don't know if you know who this is. We did, I can't even think of his name, Sebastian Maniscalco. Is that his name?
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Maniscalco. We did Sebastian Maniscalco.
Maniscalco
Scannibale. We did impressions of him. He's, I think, the number one stand-up in the world. Brett, Rob, and myself, maybe we'll each do a quick impression to let JPC kind of know what his act is like. I can go first. Does anybody else want to
go
first?
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So, JBC, this is basically Sebastian Maniscalchi's.
Please.
I went over to my mother-in-law's house.
I don't know.
And she has cannoli on the table. I said,
this is getting cut.
I said, "What's?" I said, cannoli, what is this? And she said, it's ricotta. I said, ricotta? Ricotta what? A cold? Should he be handling the cannoli?
I think that's a pretty good summation.
Yeah, that's very hard to, that's good. Very hard to top.
Yeah. My wife, she's in the kitchen and she's making pasta. Okay. And all of a sudden I hear a snap. I hear a snap and I look over. She broke the fucking pasta in half with her hands. She snapped it in half before she put it in the water because she said it wouldn't all fit in there. My mother's rolling in her grave.
Okay. Wait, hold on now. Okay. I'll be here, Rob. Am I judging these?
You have to judge them.
Yeah.
I want to say immediately, thank you so much, Brett, because I felt pressure to bring it home. And that is immediately gone now. Okay. All right. Let me try this out. Okay. And I also say I've never truly watched a full Albertson. I don't want to be a, you know.
Yeah, and you've never done an impersonation of anyone in your entire life.
That is also true. So there's a first for everything.
This place, they put meat on sticks and they walk around and they cut it off on your plate. I got an idea. I got a knife already. Why don't you just give me the whole piece of meat instead of little bits? What am I, a bird?
It's truly, it's take any everyday thing and be incredulous about it as an Italian.
Got it. Yeah. But yeah, make sure it somehow relates to being Italian.
Okay. Okay. So I don't know this guy, but I did while you guys were doing your impressions. I did look up Sebastian Maniscalco?
Yep.
Sebastian Maniscalco net worth.
Oh, it's I love it.
Please don't say it.
I'm going to say 130.
I can't do this tonight. Please don't say it.
I'm going to say 130 million.
Please
do. These are never right, but it does say $35 million.
No.
He's doing very well.
Got several Netflix specials, and they're
seems
all
like
about
somebody's
the
doing
same
something
thing.
Pretty well.
Hey, JPC, can you look up Adil Rafi net worth?
We don't need to do this, man. We don't need to do this.
It's just going to say four nets. It's known that Adil owns four nets.
It's funny to imagine being like a celebrity, like a mega celebrity, and being like you lock yourself out of your bank passcode. So instead you just Google your name and net worth and be like, okay, good. That's how you check
your balance.
I don't need to call the back of my card. I can just check. What does Google say I'm worth? Okay. I can afford the trip.
Has anyone been a waiter, like a full-fledged waiter in a restaurant as a job ever?
No, I was always back of house. I was dishwasher and busboy.
Yeah. Same.
I was a host, but I was never a waiter. So I was front of house, but not a waiter.
Yeah, what? The only restaurant I ever worked in, I would go to tables and I would get people, sodas and bring them their food. But it was one of those restaurants where like you ordered at the counter first.
Oh, yeah.
And then sat down with like a number. It was like a whatever type of thing. So I never had to have the pressure of writing down someone's food order.
Because
I imagine I would have really messed that up. And on top of that, it doesn't impress me whatsoever when I go to a restaurant and they don't write it down. That's the least impressive thing I've ever seen before. Because everyone now has allergies and special things. And I could tell you
allergies and special things is something you tell a kid who has like a disease.
You know,
right?
Billy,
you have allergies and special things.
Rob,
I went to a bagel place this weekend, and there was a little kid behind me with her dad, and she was looking at all the different kinds of cream cheese, and she goes, "Can I have them put the strawberry cream cheese on half of my bagel and the regular cream cheese on the other half of my bagel?" And the dad goes, "No, we'll just get two bagels." And I was like, it was very obvious that he was like, "I'm not going to ask them. I'm not going to ask them to do crazy shit for a child."
Don't make me do
this.
That's
a special thing.
That is a special thing.
That's a special thing. If you're an adult that does that, you're an asshole. If you're a child, you simply don't understand that this is like not something that anyone here wants to do.
No. I mean, I'm talking like, I'm just saying like no pickles or something like that. I'm not doing anything that's like, can you cook half of it medium and the other half medium rare? Just because when I reheat it tomorrow, I want to make sure it's well done.
I'm almost always ordering my food and then saying, "And can I do that without anybody spitting in it?" Just to make, because I think if you don't ask, they can interpret.
Don't ask,
that
don't tell.
A,
I mean, that's totally.
That's, yeah, and that's what that is. JPC, where did you work at as a host?
I worked at an O'Charley's, and I will say the worst part about being a host at O'Charley's, or just in general about being a host, was the way that it worked there is that there would be, let's say that there's like eight servers on that day, but as their shifts go, they'll start getting cut like as the night goes on, so some people can go home early, or else, you know, the people that are working doubles are staying later. But the manager doesn't tell them. The manager tells me to cut them, and then I have to be the one breaking the bad news. So that waiters would be like, it's dead. Please just cut me. Let me go. And I was like, I can't. Like, Chris has to do that. I'm just giving the fucking bad news. So there would be servers there that would hate you. Like, they would just hate you as a host because you didn't, like, fucking advocate for them being the ones to go home. It was absolute bullshit, but that was the worst part of the job.
Yeah, just, that like, seems like maybe people would tell you, like, ugh. They'd get in there, and I'd be like, ugh, I hope I get cut early tonight. I have so much to do. And you're like, I don't have any fucking say on this. I'm not Charlie. I can't say you're going home.
And then you go to Charlie, and you're like, hey, yeah, like, Alex really wants to get cut. And they're like, I don't care. Like, they're staying. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I did my part. Like, I don't know what I can do here.
I didn't know how deeply political the O'Charley's inner workings was.
It was bad. And then the other thing about working at a restaurant is that, like, you don't have, like, a cleaning crew on staff. So if someone, like, makes a mess in the bathroom, that's a host job. Like, it's like, hey, host. Like, I know you're only getting paid like $8 an hour, but someone took a big shit in there and now you have to be the one to clean it up. That's miserable.
Yeah.
And I think that's redundant. I think all shits at O'Charley's are pretty big.
It's an O'Charley's. I mean, it's an O'Charley's.
O'Charley's, what have you done? You've ruined the plumbing,
also,
O'Charley's.
Who's also like taking the time to do little shits? I just hold it in for one big one. It feels way
better.
No
one's ever taken a flushable shit at an O'Charley's. That is 100% for sure.
That's an ad campaign. If you take a good shit, you get your money back. Because we didn't do something right.
Yeah.
If we can flush your shit, you eat for free.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm the manager. Just want to apologize. I heard someone at the table took a big shit in the restroom and it flushed easy. So I'm comping your meal.
Here's a bowl of tots for you.
Yeah, for the kids. Here's what I'll say. This is kind of I think all four of us will agree on this. This is sort of an inside baseball or inside secret about improv, is that if there's a team of, let's say, four people or more, the number one thing people race to get out into the middle of the stage to play is a waiter. So when anyone sets up a scene at a restaurant, It is a contest to push and shove yourself to the front to be able to race out and say, I'm your waiter today, and just be so silly and wacky and say weird stuff as a specials.
I do love playing a waiter.
And if you don't get out there as the waiter, you can always come in to fill the water or drop off the bread.
Every restaurant needs a manager. Check in on the table.
That's the best part. Is like everyone always is like, I got to run out and be that waiter. I'm like, no. I will wait my turn and I will be another staff at this restaurant.
I was thinking about this. Adel said waiter. It made me think of I went to breakfast on Sunday and our waiter giving us coffee.
Also, JPC, we don't like to put times on things. So just say you went to breakfast at some point.
Yeah,
Sunday's it's a lie
specific.
Anyway, Brett. The story didn't happen. So.
Okay, good. Okay, good to know.
But. Our waiter brought us coffee, took our food order, brought us our food, and then came back to check in on us as waiters do, like, you know, the drop in, how is everything? And we were like, oh, it's great. They walked away. Maybe like two beats later, another person who worked there came up and was like, hey, how is everything? And we were like, yeah, it's really great. And then they walked away. And I thought, who the fuck was that? Like, it was obviously not like necessary, but it made me think that if I got like just like a black shirt and black pants, I could just walk up to anyone's table and be like, hey, I'm John, I'm a manager. Not here. I wouldn't say here. I'm not going to lie to them, but I would just tell them I'm a manager. I manage an LLC, so that's technically true. I'd say, hey, I'm John, I'm a manager. How was everything today?
100%. I think you could walk up in anything, and unless you were sitting next to them the entire time like at another table, they would be like, everything's great. Or they'd be like, we would love some more water. And you could just be like, I'll be right on that. And then never come back again. And then you get the person in trouble because they'd be like, we never got our water. And like, oh, I didn't know you. And like, John asked us if everything.
The manager.
Like,
the manager.
John doesn't fucking work here.
He took a handful of our fries. Is that right? Is that supposed to happen?
I would just bust the food and then just eat like whatever is left over. Oh, walk around the restaurant eating leftover food.
Yeah, have you? I don't know if you guys have ever. I've done this. I stopped doing it as of this time. This one time, I was at a restaurant. It was Cuban. It was a Cuban restaurant, and I was looking at the menu, and I was like, "Let me ask." I was thinking about getting the ropa vieja, and I asked the server, and I was like, "Is that the ropa vieja? Is it any good?" And she was like, "It's honestly, it's not my favorite." And I was like, "Oh, I'll take the ropa vieja." Like I still got it. Like, I realized that. At that point that was a me. I never should ask that question again because the answer doesn't matter. If I want it, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I do that all the time where I will typically say like, what do you recommend? Or like, what's the thing to get here? Is there a thing to get here? And they'll list three things and I'll be like, and none of them are the thing I was looking at. And I go, they're the crab cakes.
See, I don't do that because I would feel insanely too much pressure to be like, and they'll be like, oh, well actually this and this is good. And I'd be like, all right, I'll take both of those things. I get too in it and I feel bad. I don't want to offend them.
My wife will make fun of me for this, but when I go to any restaurant, if I've been there before and I've got something that I liked there before, that's the only thing I'll ever get the entire time I go to that restaurant for
100%.
The time.
I mean, that's not outside the ordinary.
I don't. If I've been to a restaurant, if I'm at a restaurant for the second time, that menu is not getting opened because I don't need to. I've already found a thing there that I can eat and I'm fine with that. I'm done.
A lot of times I don't go to other restaurants because I know what I want at this other. Yeah. Like when we get our to-go stuff, we're never branching out. It's like we're getting it from these four places because we know what we like. And why would we ruin our dinner on like an experiment?
This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
I like to try different things. So
we know because you dropped a ropa vieja on us. And we're like,
ropa vieja.
Oh, yeah. I still don't know what the fuck it is.
I think it means old clothes.
You lost me at going to a Cuban. It's just like you lost me at, we went to a Cuban restaurant. I was gone. I was gone on that
They
one.
Don't have those in Cincinnati, I don't think.
Yeah.
No, ropa. It's like a Skyline Chili, basically. That's our Cuban restaurant.
The other ropa thing that, vieja. The other thing that waiter makes me think of is my wife's story, but I love it. She was a server briefly, and she got in trouble because she was, I think it was at a golf course, and she would be describing cuts of meat to the customers, but she was pointing at her body to like where the cuts of meat came from.
Oh, no.
And the manager was like, you can't do that. You're making it wait. You can't. Yeah. So she was reprimanded and was no longer able to reference her body.
That is incredible. Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Until that one guy came in, he's like, actually, I'm making a suit out of women. You've really given me some good ideas. You've
Tom Hardy is Bane?
That was his Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah,
I went into the kitchen and my mother-in-law was making cannoli.
I ordered the farfalle and I said, how far did he falle to make this so late to my table?
Brett,
yes.
Go ahead and let's hear your word today, please.
My word today is going to be acquire. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that word because it always sounds like I'm speaking about a choir, a lot of people, but it's definitely not that at all. It's definitely to receive something or gather something or acquire something. And I feel like a lot of times, I don't know when you'd use it a lot. I feel like it's used a lot in financial situations. You're acquiring wealth and stuff like that.
Sure.
But a lot of times, I don't know, it just seems like a fancy word for to get something.
I don't know if I've ever used it in that way. You know, I don't think
it's also another one of those weird ones where I'm like, yeah, I got to spell it. Like sometimes you got to write it down. You're like, ah, boy, I know there's a Q in there, probably a U, and then that's about it.
There's a board game that I played years ago called Acquire. It's like I think you're like buying real estate in the board game, but it's like I don't know. It's not like Monopoly, but you can imagine it to be similar to Monopoly for the layman. But when I hear the word acquire, for whatever reason, the box is a very interesting visual on it. So I just think about the visual for that box.
Hey, JPC.
Uh-huh.
When you said that it's like Monopoly for the laid men, I just want to let you know that I have sex.
Yeah, we're all married here. I have a
just want to make sure that.
Yeah.
I've acquired children.
Yes, I've acquired children. Yes.
Acquire, Wrath of God, great Werner Herzog movie.
Unfortunately, my wife goes out a lot because she says she has a community chest. Do you think she's cheating on me?
Which is my favorite cut of beef. I do think, JBC, along the lines of like board games, I think acquire is something I associate that with like D&D.
Yeah.
Like you go through you search the body and you acquire the following items or something like that. So I do feel like it is typically used in
do a lot of body searches in D&D.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, like dead bodies, 90%. You take stuff off of them?
Like yeah. Once you've murdered them because you rolled like 12?
If someone's coming at me, if a dragon's coming at me, Brett, and they're trying to eat me, I don't call it murder. I call it self-defense.
You search the dragon's body after that? What do you think he's holding? Like
scales? Weed?
Weed. He's got weed tucked in between his scales.
God, this dragon's wearing pants. Check his pockets. Oh, man.
I don't think I don't want to actually do this work, but I think it would be really cool if somebody's like, what do you do? And if I said, I'm in mergers and acquisitions, it just sounds really good, right? Yeah. I'd love to say that. But if somebody was like, we need to do some merging and some acquiring, I'd be like, oi, I'm going to have to Google how to do both of those things.
I
feel like you also, the people who do that, they're in mergers and acquisitions. They would never say those words ever during their job.
You think they say they're an M&A? I'm an M&A.
No, I just think they never be like, oh, we got to merge. Merge these two companies together, I guess.
No, they also don't say that they're an M&A anymore because now people think that they're saying MMA, and then they are like, oh, great, you want to spar? And they're like, oh, no, I gotta fight this guy.
Oh, I acquired a black eye.
A guy's fist merged with my skull and I acquired a black eye.
I referenced Eggwire, Wrath of God by Werner Herzog. Has anybody seen any Werner Herzog movies?
Grizzly Man and Bad Lieutenant, Cape of the New Orleans one.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Also, Twister. Was Twister Werner Herzog?
I can't imagine it was.
No, there's no way.
No,
it was not. And then what was the...
I'm pretty sure Werner Herzog.
Mandalorian? He was in Mandalorian, right?
Yeah, Grizzly Man I did see, because Grizzly Man is the best one. He was in... Never listen to this audio. Never listen to it.
My wife broke the pasta in the pot of water. You must never look at this pasta.
He's original Borat. My wife. He was in Mandalorian, and he, I don't know if everybody knows this story, but if you do, apologies. He was in a scene, in a few scenes with Baby Yoda when he first kind of showed up, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And they had like a puppet at first, and they didn't like it, so they're going to do CGI or something. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, just look at the puppet, but we're going to make this CGI. And Werner Herzog, I think, like, directly went up to whoever was in charge. I don't know if it was like the Lucas folks or whoever, John Favreau.
He grabbed John Favreau by his fucking back of his neck, and he said,
he goes, come here. And he goes, have it to be the puppets, you cowards. If you do CGI, you are cowards. It must be the puppet. And they were like, oh my God, let's like just make it the puppet. So they kept it as a puppet with maybe a few CGI elements, perhaps. But
yeah, I think it's mostly practical.
I think Werner Herzog scared the shit out of them.
Yeah. Also, Jan de Bont is who I was thinking with, who did Twister.
Oh, I can see how you confused those two.
Yeah, Jan de Bont.
Yeah. That's a great name. I've never heard that name
before.
Oh, yeah. Jan de Bont.
And Jan de Bont, that's a director where you can drive as fast as you want to on him.
It's real close. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a guy who plays baseball and what his favorite swing is. Jan de Bont.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Walk me through
this. It took a second. I walked you through it. It's fine.
I was thinking about acquire because that's the point of the show. But
no.
One thing that I was trying to think about for me, and I'm curious, if do you feel like you've ever had to acquire something? Like, do you feel, maybe you didn't say it in those terms, but had an experience where you had to like acquire something?
I've definitely had to acquire drugs before they were like legal to buy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you'd never, like, before you could buy legal marijuana, you always had to feel like you had to acquire it from somebody. You couldn't ever say it. You probably wouldn't say buy weed back then. You were like, in your mind, you think it was a lot cooler than it was. And really, you're just buying loose weed from some friend of yours. But like, you always felt like a little bit more like James Bondish, where you got to acquire it and you don't know how.
If you went up to a dealer, you're like, I'd like to acquire an eighth, please. I think they would think you're a cop.
Narc.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking to acquire.
I remember back in my drug buying days, weed was always, especially in Indiana, was always relatively easy to get, but mushrooms were not. Like, you couldn't, like, our weed dealer didn't sell mushrooms, and it was hard to get mushrooms. And every once in a while, you would hear about someone would be like, oh, I know someone who has some mushrooms. So I remember buying mushrooms from, at this point, like, complete strangers, and having to, like, hang out. And it's the only time I've ever, like, hung out in a drug, I don't even call these people drug dealers. They were just people that were growing mushrooms. Like, they're barely drug dealers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
But hanging out in like their house, and I remember one time we bought mushrooms to this guy who was like a friend of a friend of a friend. I did not know him. And I was over at his house and I was like, yeah, I'm like, buy the mushrooms. He's like, cool, let me show you where I grow them. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, I guess we'll, I just want to buy them. But I took the fucking tour and then the guy was like, hey, do you have someone to do these with? And I was like, yeah, like me and my girlfriend are going to do it. And he goes, cool, like, do you want somebody like, you know, I've done them a bunch. I could be like, I was like, no, man, it's just like me and my girlfriend type of thing. Like,
we're going to acquire a friend.
A
100%. Those old original drug buying days, like I used to like sit in a car in front of a guy's house and like I would literally just want to buy these edibles and it would turn into like 45 minutes of him telling me like, I tell you what, CDs are way better than vinyl nowadays. And I'm just like, oh, I was like, I needed to be out of here like 38 minutes ago. And this is now the 39th minute.
There was a radio that I really wanted to acquire. Like when I was a kid, it was a CD player. And I don't know if you guys remember Service Merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
It was at Service Merchandise. And it looked so cool to me because it was like one of those, it was like flat. And the CD, you put it in, it was like vertical. So it wasn't like a drawer that came out.
It was very much like a Sharper Image thing.
Yes. And there were like these speakers. It looked really sleek and cool. And I saved, like I saw it in Service Merchandise. I saved up all of this money. I don't remember how much it was. And I got it and it wasn't that great, but I wanted it for like more than 6 months. It took me forever. I saved. I thought about it, got it home. It looked so cool. And I was like, oh, this is just a CD player.
Yeah.
Well, that's an acquisition though. You definitely acquired that thing.
I did
make a good acquisition there. Mm-hmm.
Rob, mm-hmm. I had that same one and I feel like it skipped constantly because of-
it did. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was a design flaw. There's a reason they're not all like that.
Yeah, the reason why it's supposed to be like flat.
Right. Yeah.
Service Merchandise, I feel like they had layaway, right? And I don't know. I can't tell in today's, like JPC, do you know what layaway is?
Yeah, I do know what layaway is. And I don't
Walmart still does it.
Layaway,
I think, isn't that what
does...
they say when you walk into a mattress store?
No, that's when you walk into
they
a,
say, get
a funeral
out.
Home.
Yeah,
they
say away.
Sorry, go ahead, JPC.
It's a coffin
they
store.
They say the mattress jerk-off guy is back.
he's got creepy wife who points to her body and tells him where he wants it.
They don't have layaway anymore. I'm sure they still have it in limited capacities, but now they have like the like Klarna
right.
thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, it's like, hey, you're buying this thing. Do you want to break it up into multiple payments with mm-hmm. this service type of thing? So it's similar to layaway.
Okay. But you get it now.
But you get it now.
Waiting
yes.
to pay in full.
Yeah.
To pick
well,
it up.
I believe there's still rent-a-centers.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's basically
those places
the same
are
thing.
Big crocks of shit too. But yeah.
Oh, huge, huge. I mean, yeah, you're spending like $700 more for a TV that you can walk in and get at Costco for like nothing. But they don't know. They don't know. Although it's interesting because like that Klarna, and I feel like when we got our Peloton, we did it. I don't know where they're making money on. I guess it's people
interest
missing
rate.
Payments because there was no interest.
No interest? Oh.
No. It was zero interest. But like it was like, you get the bike now, you pay us over time because I think they're getting the subscription fee. So like Peloton's like, we'll do this. You're paying no interest for the bike, but the faster you have the bike, the more we're making
$40 sure.
in subscription fees.
My general rule is if you can't figure out within like 30 seconds how a business is making money, it's an absolute fucking scam. Someone is getting scammed because it's pretty easy to be like, I give you money, you give me service. Like that's a pretty one-to-one thing.
If you saw the amount of meat going around at Fogo de Chao, I honestly don't know. I don't know how they make money.
I really don't. Yeah, we don't have no idea. And generally, my general rule is no push-ups.
But I was going to say,
whatever.
I was going to say, with layaway, I think, I mean, this is my mom, not me, but my mom got us a original NES for Christmas. She had it on layaway, probably at like Sears or something. But I remember that was like the biggest thing I had ever acquired as like a kid was like, holy shit, NES, take it out of the box, Duck Hunt, Mario Brothers, Operation Wolf, Bad Dudes. And it was definitely one of those things where my sister Sadie and I would play and she would like move with the controller. Like she would jump to try and make Mario jump or move up her hands and stuff. And I remember making fun of her and being like, that's not how the game works and stuff. And then when the Wii came out, I remember my sister being like, well,
I was just early.
Okay, Brett, go ahead and take us to break.
I thought that story was going to end with like two guys showed up because your mom missed a payment and they took it away from her.
Oh yeah. She broke her legs. Of course.
Yeah. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Why don't we go ahead and mosey on over, take out of layaway, pay off the final payments for Rob's word. What is your word today? What is your word today, Rob?
Yeah, my word today, and congratulations on your final payment. The word today is evacuate. Evacuate. Mm. And, you know, it's got a few meanings, obviously. There are emergency situations where you have to evacuate. And I've always
your bowels.
That's when they talk about when somebody dies and their body like evacuates. I learned that very later on in life, and I honestly didn't know that was a thing. But
I don't think
sense.
I knew that until like I think South Park did an episode about it or something like that.
I think I learned it on maybe Homicide or like a cop show of some.
Yeah,
kind
that makes sense.
Talk about, but it brings a whole layer to when you see a dead body in those shows, like. That dead body has evacuated.
Yeah,
itself.
I also just, I know that now, and I don't ever think about that.
What's not going
to
be your problem?
I try not to. I just try not to think about it.
I poop so often as a living person that I'm pretty confident that as soon as I'm dead, it's not going to be that. It's not going to be like a mess. I'm not
saying it's not
going to
be
like
an O'Charley's.
Yeah.
No, it's not like an O'Charley situation. It's not like you're about to die and you're like, ah, oh, fuck. It's like, I better. You go to like erase my hard drive, erase my bowels.
I remember that thing where people are like, wasn't it like a mother would always be like, not my mother, but you like on TV shows and stuff, like, change your underwear. What if you get into a car accident? You want to have dirty underwear. It's like, well, if you get in a car accident, like, you're going to shit your pants. So it doesn't really matter.
If you die, really I mean, if you die, die.
True,
just
true.
You live.
Yeah.
And that should be the defense is like, mom, come on. If I die, I'm going to
I would
shit
say,
my pants.
Yeah. You know, but you know, you just like I would say like once, I'd say twice a year, I do this Dr. Tobias colon cleanse. And
oh, geez.
It gets the job done. It's really nice. It really makes
I
you feel good
you were
about
say
yourself.
Once or twice a year you shit your pants. Was
no,
I was hoping
well,
that story was going to go.
Honestly, if you're on Dr. Tobias, there's definitely been some close calls. Yeah.
Any doctor that goes by his first name.
Yeah, not great.
I know.
I remember.
How
will maybe...
I take it? I'm like, is this like a bit? Is this like an Arrested Development bit that like somebody did this name on purpose? But like, no, that's the straight up Amazon's got the best reviews.
In maybe grade school, we would do the evacuation drills. Mm-hmm. I don't remember mm-hmm. before. It might have happened before grade school, but grade school, I think, is when I first sort of remember it. But it's so funny to me of like it would be the bell would ring and the teachers would be like, this is an evacuation drill. So let's do this. And it would be everyone standing up as if they're like robots and walking so slowly, single file mm-hmm. out the wow. door. And it's so, as an adult now, thinking back on it, it's so funny to be like, shouldn't you? And within reason, I'm not trying to be, right. not, I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but shouldn't you replicate like what a real situation would feel like
yeah.
in terms of like, we know people are going to run. We know people, you know, so there should, it feels like there should be some amount of mimicking.
Every drill should be, this is real happening. And when it's over, you should be like, this was just a drill. Besides.
Oh, God. No. No.
No.
You're traumatizing children, dude.
No, no.
But
no one's safe in the hallway. You're just, you know, for the tornado drill.
The whole point of the drill is so that when the thing actually does happen, everyone is orderly and calm as they leave. If people are freaking out, then you would not need to do a drill.
100%. Like on a sunny day, just someone would be like, there's a tornado outside. And everyone, just see what happens. And then next time, and then they go, how can we learn from this? Now, we all went to school when we didn't have to deal with the situations that they deal with now in school, so I can make light of that. But no, I would not do a shooting drill live. But back in the day, I feel like a fire and a tornado would have been
mostly,
okay to like.
Fire drills. Now, tornado drills, you would not calmly walk outside. That would, everyone would die.
Yeah.
We're
unless
at
you
a big school.
But I went to Yondabont High and. He was always just trying to see, you know, he's just doing research. He's like, how much, what a weight of a kid gets just sucked up immediately.
I know there are obviously more serious drills now, but I remember, I think when our parents were in school, they did bomb drills.
Yeah.
They did bomb drills, which was
intense
just going
to be
under.
Like,
that was just stupid, though.
That's pretty, I mean, that's kind of intense to be like, okay, kids, let's pretend a bomb is coming at the school.
Sure. It was also kind of intense to pretend that going under your desk would save you from nuclear holocaust.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
fire
it's just
or tornado, I got a chance, but you know.
Yeah, I guess.
I think it was, obviously they just weren't telling them stuff.
If an atom bomb went off in like my town in Indianapolis, I'd be like, why? Like,
why? Yeah.
I drove through Indianapolis. Somebody didn't do their research. I know why. I just drove through there all weekend. I know exactly
if I
why.
Heard that Indianapolis
was nuked. Because it ain't killing nothing.
Nuked.
There's nothing there.
If I heard Indianapolis was nuked and then I heard it was like our government that did it, I'd be like, okay. But if I heard it was like nuked by like a terrorist, I'd be like, why? Like, what do you, like, there's so many better cities so
I know.
Close.
I feel like they wake up and they're like, why is the United States rejoicing? And they're like, oh, you did us a favor.
I've been in a fire drill.
Apologies to anyone
listening, possibly
who is in Indiana.
We've done fire drills as an adult. And like when I did corporate, like in working in an office building, we would have to do it. And they were very strict. Like you had to go around and put stickers on. There were like fire captains and you had to put stickers on all the doors. And women weren't allowed to bring their purses. And like even in the drill, there would be fire department people there and they would yell, like tell the, like, no, go put your purse back. You can't bring your purse because going down the stairs, purses can like snag on the railing. And that could create
I just thought
like
it was
potential...
just another men thing. Like women weren't allowed to be burned back then or
no,
something like
no.
that.
No, it's all
classic
about just,
guys.
Just keeping the flow going.
That's crazy. It also makes sense to not grab anything. You know, you always think like, oh, there's a fire in your house. And like people like are always like, I had to grab. I mean, obviously you grab a pet or something like that.
Okay, question time. Guys, yes. Everybody please answer. There's a fire in your house. What are you grabbing before you leave? Or are you not grabbing anything and just going?
No, I'm grabbing my child.
Well, okay, yes, but outside of children, and like, assume your family is already out there, and you're like the last one. Is there any? You're like looking around your house. Is there anything you're grabbing?
Yeah, I mean, I got like 4 payments left in my NES, and like, I gotta get it. I can't lose that money.
And
I don't think there's anything. I have insurance, so I don't think there's anything. No. Even, I mean, I have money in the house because, you know, you don't trust the bank, but...
Smart.
I love
smart.
The idea of your house is, like, your house is very slowly burning and you just go to the lawn and fold your arms and it's like, why aren't you? And you're like, buddy, I got insurance. And they're like, photos, what about? And you're like, don't care. Insurance, my man.
No, truly, I don't know anything in my house that, like, if it was, like, burnt to the ground, I would be like, oh. Because like you said, like photos I have all, you know, all online. I don't really have any like whatever. Yeah, I'd have to think about it. I don't think there's anything.
JPC?
My real answer is I don't care about anything. So I would just, I would tell whatever, I'd go to Mariah and I'd go, hey, what do you want? You get 2 things now.
Okay. Okay.
I get one thing. My thing is free for you.
Yeah.
And if she said, she was like, I don't know, man, it doesn't matter to me. I'd be like, okay, well, I'll meet you outside.
I'll meet you outside.
You'll be on the lawn. Whatever you get, you just figure out what you're getting and we can walk
I'll
out.
Be on the lawn. Just text me when you're outside.
I think I would just grab my phone.
Yeah, phone
I think
and
I
laptop.
Would make sure I had a phone. Laptop, if it was close, if there were flames between myself and the laptop, I don't care. But I would just at least grab my phone so I could be in communication. with people.
Rob dipping his hand in, trying to real fast grab it.
Too hot.
Yeah. I'm also trying to figure out where the flames would have to be where he couldn't access his, like, imagine like his desk is on fire.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just trying to think of what would be blocking it so genuinely. They'd be like, I can't go get it.
I can't. JPC, well, I will say mentally when I was waiting for your answer, I was like, JPC's probably going to say like fucking marshmallows. Like, grab the marshmallows, roast a couple, get a couple toasties, and watch it burn. Who cares?
Grab what about my you, dick, Adam? Just crank off, watch the flames, baby. That's the first thing I'm grabbing.
Click, click,
let it take
boom.
Me. I'll be home with in hell.
Outstanding.
Adam, what are you taking?
I think phone. I assume pets go into your family. So
Yeah. The pets are out there. So yeah,
I would.
As long as you don't have cats.
If pets were not included, I would immediately grab fries and brisket. I think Coco. Well, I would wave to Coco through the window, give him a little salute, and say best of luck, buddy.
I just got uncast it in them for a few days. I can confirm Coco would be fine. Coco's getting out. Coco don't need nobody's help.
I mean, it's got to be my podcast, Mike, because I would be like. This is out of
I could be recording right now.
This is the first episode of Burning Down the House, my podcast, traversing the new life that I have to build for myself. And that's how it goes.
You could record it on a Rob's hot laptop.
Enter. JPC, thank you so much for being here today. What was the word that you brought to
the table? Yeah, man, it was great. I had a lot of fun.
Say a word and we'll see if we like it or not.
All right, the word that I picked, which is, again, one of my favorite words, is espresso.
Oh, and great. And JPC, where can people find you?
My house is not burned down by the time this thing comes out, I guess. I don't really like to leave there, so if I'm on my lawn holding my espresso machine and my dog, you'll know why.
Wait, do you drink one every day? Do you make it at home?
I have a Nespresso machine.
Okay.
It's the only type of coffee that I drink while I'm at home. Mm. But I drink too much of it.
Sure.
But one a day is kind. That is, yeah. That's kind
now,
for me to say.
When you say one a day, is that just espresso or espresso? Or
We talked about this at Fogo de Chao.
I know.
There's
I
no
say
X.
Espresso.
There's no X.
I know.
In
I know. It's fine.
Here's the thing. I love espresso now, but there was a time in my life where I could only say espresso because I don't know where that came from. But it's like
I think because people think it's quick.
Yeah,
you just make that connection.
Sometimes I like espressoing myself. So
I will say, like, when I was young, I always shopped at Espresso for Men.
Yeah. Well, it came from it came from Stan Lee, who helped create the X-Men. Mm-hmm. And there was an X-Men named Espresso. He would emote a lot, a lot of facial features, strong eyebrows, and he was quickly written out to be replaced by Jubilee, of course, the number one X-Men of all time.
Number one X-Men.
JPC, when you have your Espresso, are you drinking coffee also throughout the day, or is that all you have?
No, I just drink the like the little whatever 3 ounce espresso.
The cap.
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah. I do cold brew only. So usually I'll do one of those in the morning, and then I'll usually hit another one up around 4-5 o'clock.
Hit another one up? Are you texting them? What are you doing?
Yeah. I go, what's up?
Try to fuck this cold brew.
Yeah. My dick's warm. And then
it's
can
just
have
a fire.
Because me and Rob had obviously at our dinner, we both had a cup of espresso.
Beautiful.
I can have espresso, I believe, 9, 10 o'clock at night, go to bed, hour later, no problem.
Now, something I want to bring to the table, which I think is delicious and magical, is it, Rob, please help me out, because I'm going to mispronounce this. Is it affogato?
Oh, I believe that is correct, but I don't remember what that is. Is that a dessert?
It's espresso with like a scoop of ice cream in it.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It hits the spot
affogato?
Every time.
I just had that not too long ago. And I didn't know. Like, they brought the ice cream out and then they poured the espresso on top of it.
I just like black coffee too much where I wouldn't want to mess around.
And I didn't fully enjoy it. I'm not adding anything whatsoever.
It was so good, I forgot what it was called. And now I'm doing dice.
So I was fucking this cup of coffee. And she goes, she wants some ice cream. So I said, fuck it, I put it on top of her.
The best time, I just drink espresso all day because I like it. I like having a little tiny coffee. I don't love the feeling that when a coffee gets like room temperature, you know, like if you don't drink a hot coffee fast enough. So I like that espresso is like one, you know, you can kind of get it down quick. But my favorite way to have it is like as an after meal thing.
Oh, absolutely.
A nice,
great digestive. It was incredible digestive.
Yeah. I mean,
Now I do also like your cup setup because I hate getting an espresso in a coffee cup.
Oh, no.
We got it in a coffee cup.
You
I hated it
cup.
So much. I need it in that short cup. Because it's just like, it's like people around the restaurant being like, oh, I can't handle a full cup of coffee. I'm like, no, you don't get it. It's just a tiny coffee. You don't know. But it's also more enjoyable to drink when it's in the tiny cup, in my opinion.
You need a tiny cup. If you ever even get, like, if you go and get it at, like, a coffee place and they give you one of those, like, small Dixie cup paper cups, like, even that's too big. I'm like, I guess give me 6 shots of this shit because I can't be looking like I'm drinking, a tiny little swig of coffee.
Yeah. When I was working in Chicago and it was, like, we'd have those late improv nights and stuff like that, all the time I would get, in the morning, I would get a hot coffee with 2 shots of espresso.
Oh, red eye?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was getting red eyes
those
all
are hardcore.
The time.
I believe espresso was created by like a shop owner because his guys were taking too long on their coffee break. So he invented a coffee that was made quickly and in a small amount, so they could quickly have their coffee and get back to work.
Huh,
I'm almost positive. I hope I'm not making that up. Please don't email me if it is wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it where it came from.
Oh, my phone's ringing. It's Juan Valdez.
Something that was pretty eye-opening for me when I first got to like travel anywhere else in the world if you go almost anywhere in like Europe, and you, because we're used to like, up until I had JPC was kind enough to buy me an espresso for my kitchen, I would go to Dunkin' Donuts every morning and get like a 32-ounce extra large mm-hmm. coffee, and I'm like, 32-ounce, finish that, make a pot of coffee, start drinking that, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then you go over to Europe and you go like, give me an extra large coffee or large coffee. And they kind of look at you funny and you're like, I guess a large Americano, or I don't know how to drip coffee. And they don't know what drip is.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a regular hot coffee, it is typically, I want to say 4 ounces. It is
so small.
Awful. It is
our
awful.
Portion control in the United States on everything is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's the reason why
ridiculous
they live to like,
no,
well,
yes.
Yeah, they live to like 110 and we're keeling over at like 45. And I'm like, everything seemed fine. He drank battery acid all day.
The thing about drinking like a 32-ounce cup of coffee is there's a ton of caffeine in there. It's probably not great for you. But I got to imagine it is infinitely better than drinking like a 32-ounce Pepsi. Like
true.
At least 100%. It's just bean water. It's
right,
not like, you know, you're not drinking like...
And honestly, they never just call it bean water. Why? Why not? That's all
why
it is.
Not?
It's just
hot, I would drink it.
Just hot bean water.
I had the... my honeymoon went to Bali and they have the... Oh God, I forget what it's called, lumpia, something like that. It's like
is that the cat poop one?
Yes. Where these like animals will eat coffee beans. Like they find like the best coffee beans. That's what they want to eat. So they eat them, they shit them out, and then those beans are roasted and it's apparently like the best coffee. And I did have 2 cups of it. And I
now Rob.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was good. It was very good. Yeah.
Yeah. You had a shit eating grin after it.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, I have to ask. You mm-hmm. said that these animals ate the beans and then they shit them out.
Mm-hmm.
Did they die?
No, they don't die. That's okay. No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if maybe they, I don't know if maybe.
Oh,
they,
no, they did not evacuate. They were, it was just a normal BM, okay. Normal BM.
They acquired the beans to their
yes.
poop. They didn't evacuate them out of their butt. That's good.
But honestly, even if they do die, we're still getting the coffee. Like we're getting the coffee either way.
Either way. Yeah, either way.
You see that poor little animal, like, I know this is going to kill me. I can't resist it.
It was tough. It was tough when we were in Japan, because you can't, because I love taking a coffee on the go, walking with it, you know, because I don't want to, you know, whatever. They don't do, you're giving ill looks when you're over, like, if you get a coffee in like a coffee shop or anything, no one walks or with food or like coffee. Or drinks whatsoever. Like you go, you sit down, you enjoy it, and then you're on your way. Because it's shocking. And there's no garbage cans anywhere either. To even if you wanted to throw anything out, they're not there because everyone is just so clean.
They'll be like, yeah, that was a hollow statue, you asshole. I'm so sorry.
So sorry. That was a hollow statue of a dog. What's so cool about the dog? Oh, I don't know. He came to this spot for 100 years and met his owner.
It's probably better that it's that way because you walk around Chicago and you're like, oh, there's fucking trash everywhere. Mm-hmm. But you think about what you're giving up, and that's the ability to like eat a big piece of pizza while you're walking down the street, because that's fucking cool.
That
like,
is. If 80s movies have taught us anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first moved here from Indianapolis, like Indianapolis, not a walking city at all. So to be able to be like, I can just walk around, go buy a big sandwich and like walk around and eat it if I want to. I'm like, fuck, this rules. This is like, this is the best city in the world, baby.
And then you go to New York and they don't have alleys and you're like, oh, they just put the garbage straight up on the street.
Where do you throw your big sandwich when you're fucking done with it if you don't have an alley?
Yeah, it's on the ground. And then there's a place in Manhattan though that they'll, if a rat eats your sandwich, he poops it out, and then they make a better sandwich for it later.
It's an even better sandwich.
Here's what I'd like to propose to you three, that we maybe that all of us go into business together, because here's what I'm thinking. There are coffee fanatics who will go after the most weird bespoke beans brews, as we've just heard with the animal pooping beans. Is there something the four of us could do? Like people send us their beans, or we get the beans first, we source them. We cut out the middleman. We source the beans. We do something to them, and then we ship them out, and we make, I don't know, I want to say $40 a bag or something. Now, my first thought is we're comedians. Of course, coffee is roasted. Can we individually roast each bead in terms of their appearance, in terms of, okay. I don't know.
I'm there.
Whatever that might be. Is that fun? What can
we'll
we do?
We'll call it a cup of comedy. You'll have a nice cup of comedy in the morning.
Absolutely.
These beans have been roasted. And then we'll send an audio tape of us roasting the beans so you can listen. You can listen to it as you enjoy your coffee in the morning.
Yeah, a little liquid laugh.
I think it has to come with an accompaniment. You have to be able to enjoy not only the taste of the roast, but you have to be able to enjoy the, like, the audio process of the roast as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Are you kidding
While you're
me?
Drinking to get the full flavor, to get the full profile of the bean. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I feel like it'll just be me going like, yeah, you guys all look alike.
Yeah. What about we just we record people screaming and we sell a French press that when you push down on the beans and hot water, you just hear... You hear the coffee being screaming for their lives.
You should never watch this video.
Never drink this cup of coffee again.
Please never drink this cup of coffee.
When you said that, it made me think of like the people that were, and I don't even know how real this was, but did you ever hear about like the people that would buy like gamer girl bathwater? Like,
yes.
They'd be like e-streamers and they would be in hot tubs and then they would sell the hot tub water to you know, perverts on the internet. I don't know if that was ever real, but I would absolutely do that. If I could sell my bathwater to a pervert.
I think it 100% has to be real. There's so many perverts. Are you kidding me?
What are you doing? Don't answer that.
It doesn't matter, Rob. Once they buy it,
that's off the shelf. Yeah.
Pervert money spins as good as anybody's. You know?
I know.
Maybe better.
I want to be like, did you shower first? Or is this, how dirty is this? Yeah. Are we clean going into the bath?
Wasn't
or did you go
woman,
for a run? What am I working
with? Wasn't
there
that woman who had to go to the hospital because she was canning her farts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always been more of a pee streamer than an e-streamer, but you know. Just depends. Although I do love the e-streamer band.
I hope you intentionally said the joke. I enjoy P-streamer, but it just depends.
That's a whole market they're losing out on right now.
Yeah.
Well, if you have any ideas for what we could do to coffee before we sell it, please let us know. Email us at twapod@gmail.com. Again, that email is twapod@gmail.com. You can also send us words that we can use on future episodes, or just let us know what's going on in your life, or email us something you want us to see, whatever that might be. Please email us twapod@gmail.com. You can also review or rate the show. That helps us out a lot, or even just recommend it. Or if you're in high school and there's a big dance coming up, go up to the DJ and say, hey, the new hottest song is the word association, episode number one. Have the DJ press play. He's going to start playing a podcast and sit back, cross your arms and laugh because you're about to get your ass beat.
poor DJ.
What is this, a fucking teaser? Is this a teaser? Is that one a teaser? I can't play this. Give me a full up.
What are you doing? JPC, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, JPC.
Where can people find you? Where can we follow you? What's going on?
Address, social security, anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. If people are interested in finding me, do the hard work, figure it out. I'm sure you'll be able to. Here's what I will plug. World News Tonight at IO in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's every Saturday night. I'm there probably a couple times a month. We did a show last week. Rob and I did a show.
And the two of you took a bath in a scene.
I told you this earlier today, but I apologize to Rob at intermission because I was like, hey, sorry that we keep doing scenes where like you're normal and I'm like the craziest guy who's ever lived. And he's like, yeah, it's okay, fine.
And then it seems like pretty much normal any Rob I've ever done with you ever.
But I mean, he acknowledged it, and immediately in the second, like we were in a scene together, and he immediately went crazy. I was like, all right. I'm sorry, but in fairness, I did tell him I forget what I was going to initiate with, but I was also just going to make him. I was like, it's working.
I do like that. He's like, yeah. I do like that. He's like, I apologize. I didn't say I was going to stop.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You have to deal with me. That's the apology.
I love it.
But World News Tonight, IO, 8 o'clock. Come see a show
Saturdays.
Yeah. I should have probably plugged that if that's on me too.
Interesting.
I'm really bad at this stuff.
Technically, I'm still on the show. Technically, Adel's still on the show, but we're not plugging that shit.
I mean, Brett was there this weekend and could have come to the show.
I was at a wedding. I was in Hammond, Indiana, just like trying to mark it with a laser in case anyone came by with a B-52. I was like, I got to drop this nuke.
Well, speaking of cousins' weddings, clink, 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 clink. Brett, I believe you have a speech to make about the words we used today.
Oh, shit. I kind of did it earlier and now I forgot. Well, listen, folks, thank you so much for acquiring this podcast into your ears. Hopefully it was great and doesn't want you to evacuate immediately through your body and out your asshole. But you know what? Sometimes you got to say, waiter, there's a podcast in my soup. And then at the end of the day, there was JPC's word. And you know what? I don't remember what
espresso,
it was.
He hit end of the day. He hit end of the day, and I thought, oh, he's going to do it.
He literally did set him up. It was perfect.
That's what I said. I literally set it up, and I couldn't remember what the JPC's word. I wish you would have picked up your little espresso glass at that time.
Just dangle it in front of your face.
Oh, that would have been great.
Well, grab a cup of coffee. We call it Liquid Laugh, coming soon to shelves near you. We're doing this, right? Liquid Laughs?
I like
100%.
JPC, you in?
Yeah, of course.
The Word Association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.